This is a replay of the Thursday night, November 2nd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. And unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. And, of course, no matter whatever is on your mind, I hope you'll also include a vote for the world's worst hit record. Yes, the polls are open, as they are now through Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, at which time we close the poll, we tabulate the votes, and then on Thanksgiving, a night of turkeys, I play back your 10 least favorite turkeys. Don't worry, I don't play all of them, and we have a good time on Thanksgiving night on a live show. But between now and then, all we ask is the record be hits. That's right. Something national on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, preferably number 60 or above, though there may be exceptions. And we don't care about the years or the genres. So it can be country or it can be pop or it can be rock or you name it. It's fine. As long as it's a hit. And you can vote for as many as you want, but please only vote for the same one once. And that's them. There are the rules. You can email. I prefer you vote on the air, A, because it's more fun for all of us, and B, because there's absolutely no reason to believe I'll actually get your email. As I just proved, because James is, he's wonderful. He sends me thousands of emails, practically a day. I'm not only exaggerating a little bit on that. It's literally hundreds. And so it is that he's done this recently, and I had moved them to their special place. Now, I don't know about you, but forget about even being online. You know, you have things at home, and you say, oh, I want to put this in a special place, and then you never see it again. Yeah, I've been looking for a box of 100 rack screws for 3 months now. I finally just broke down and ordered 100 more. Yeah, because I can't find them anywhere. They're in that special place. Well, the last couple of days, James's emails have wound up in that special place. So that's not to say that we can't find plenty of things to talk about, because after all, I do have the tabloids, if all else fails. But that said, it would be nice to know where those email went, because I know he sent several, and I just saw a bunch of them earlier, and I guess, again, I put them in that that special place. I don't know. Never to be seen again. And so it is. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, well, Halloween, of course, has come to a successful conclusion, meaning I haven't heard of anything terribly untoward here in the States in the last couple days. World can't be said for the rest of the world, of course, unfortunately, but we'll stay away from those discussions. Though in our little town where we have radio stations in Arizona, come to find out that Halloween, everybody was standing on edge because there were death threats for the Halloween parade. I can't imagine it myself, but all was well and nothing happened, but it caused people a few scary moments. That said, it was Jeff last week in Oregon who said, can you please play Graveyard Rock by Tarantula Ghoul? And I started to play a little bit the other night, but we ran out of time. And I said, I promise, Jeff, I will play more of Graveyard Rock. And we'll also talk about the history of Tarantula Ghoul. I mean, where else are you going to hear this? Last night we covered Barry Sadler. So why not? You can talk about anything you want, as long as it has absolutely no import whatsoever. And then, of course, we want to hear all about it. Yeah, I'm still, while I'm talking, I'm still looking for those James emails because I saw a few hundred of them earlier and they just disappeared. Now, I don't know about you, but when you lose something, even if it's something that's not important to you, if it's things like mail or email, but even snail mail, when you lose a bunch of it, maybe the thing that you're looking for is not that important to you. You know, it's junk mail or something like that. But you say to yourself, what else is missing? Yeah, and then you go on the on the trek all through the house, all through, you know. And I don't care if you're living in 300 square feet, you got to be like me. You lose things, they just disappear, they go into the ether, I don't know, never to be seen again. And a couple of years later, you find them when you don't need them at all, and they're somewhere that you can't fathom how you got them there. Yeah, well, that's where James's email was. So in the meantime, we'll pick it up with the spellbinding story of Tarantula Ghoul. And actually, horror show hosts is one of the genres that I loved about local television. And I don't know how many are left, if any, but for a while, certainly in the 50s, when network programming was not yet, you know, pretty much around the clock almost, stations would fill with a number of local things. And invariably on the weekends, virtually every television station had a horror host. And the horror host was usually the hapless weatherman or sports guy or something like that, that they dress up for this. Often he'd be the same poor guy who had to do the kiddie show. Yeah, and that's another genre that I just love. And years and years ago, a couple decades ago, I said to John, you know, we should do a documentary on all the horror show hosts or all the kiddie show hosts, because these local guys were just as colorful as they came. And I don't care where you grew up, as long as, you know, you were born, well, within the last 70 years, you know, if you're a little longer of tooth than that, and believe me, I relate, you might not have seen, you know, early television with the kiddie show hosts and all that. Okay, maybe Captain Video on Demand. But other than that, but for everybody else, I don't care where you grew up or when, you remember these people. They were absolutely in every market in America. Yeah, so I think they do deserve some notoriety, and we'll tell you all about the story of Tarantula Ghoul, Portland's own, coming up. 888-876-5593. Don't forget to vote on WGN Radio.
Tired of living, want to die? Well, here's a real good reason why.
Graveyard Rock.
About 12 o'clock, when the graves all open and we start to rock.
Graveyard rock.
It's cool.
Graveyard rock.
In the graveyard.
Graveyard rock.
Everybody digs a graveyard rock. Every night is just like Halloween. There's rock and roll this graveyard scene.
Graveyard rock.
It's cool.
Graveyard rock.
In the graveyard.
Graveyard rock. Graveyard rock.
Ooh.
Graveyard rock.
In the graveyard.
Graveyard rock.
Everybody digs a graveyard rock.
And it was a B-side. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was on the Tarantula Ghoul label, of course. Graveyard Rock, the A-side, which is not quite as memorable, was King Kong. And this was 1959 at the height of her short-lived career, and we'll get to that whole story in a moment. As for who wrote it, I don't know. A couple of guys at the TV station, near as I can tell, have absolutely no idea who they were, both sides. B. Anson and Jay Ralston, and if they wrote anything else, I don't know what it was. All right, so that was definitely a tarantula there in the background. But as far as horror shows, arguably the first big one was 1954 in Los Angeles on KABC TV 7, where a woman named Mayla Nemi and debuted herself as Vampyra. The world's first horror show host, maybe. And, you know, if you never saw Vampyra, think about Morticia Adams, you know, that kind of thing. And she'd, like all the movie hosts, be introducing these horrible movies, these B-movies at best. And obviously she wasn't doing it live. They were pre-taped segments, which in 1954 was difficult in and of itself. Don't kid yourself. But in any event, the Vampyra show all had, it had an opening, and I don't even know what it was, but it was discordant. I don't know that I'd ever heard it anywhere else, but maybe you had. And you know, she'd come out, and a hallway that was all smoky and all that, and her silhouette would first appear, and then there she'd be in a black gown, fringe of course, and she'd saunter toward the camera. And you know, it was interesting because it was part horror movie and part soft porn, really. And she was quite a kick herself. She had come to Los Angeles from Oregon, had changed her name from Nemi to Nermi, her last name, and her career was well. In her short career, she managed to really tick off Mae West. In fact, it was upset her so much that Mae made sure she lost a Broadway role. She had a child with Orson Welles, yes, while he was married to Rita Hayworth. And she was in that, they used to say rarefied, but I don't think so. I think it was unlimitedly large, a club known as People Who Had an Affair with Marlon Brando. And she made friends and enemies and everything else. And in 1954, she made a history when she became the world's first horror show host, though, as I say, that's arguable. And, you know, it was campy. You know, she'd have a serene look. And she'd then shut her eyes in ecstasy, saying, "Screaming relaxes me so." Yeah, it was pretty bad. Anyway, it was gallows humor sexed up. And so it wasn't long before television stations coast to coast, kind of like what happened with early dance shows, right? Saw, oh man, we need our own. And in some cases they were guys, and they, you know, no shortage of humor there too. But in Portland, they found Suzanne Waldron. Now, Suzanne had gone to college in New Mexico, actually, and had done things like plays and all that. And in fact, I think she was doing Macbeth at the Portland Civic Theater when the local NBC affiliate KPTV noticed her. And so here it is. It's 1957. And she, by the way, had done a lot of serious acting, none of it like big time. But it was certainly the case that by 1957, when she was acting at the Portland Civic Auditorium, she was also pretty much earning a living doing voiceovers and radio and things like that. And she was part of the Magic Ring Repertory Company doing comedy and drama. So she was no slouch. But she also, of course, wasn't a well-known name or anything like that. But here is KPTV. And they saw firsthand how big Vampyra was. But by then, Vampyra was canceled. And by the way, Vampyra had a very short run. And the reason it was so short was because Vampyra herself wouldn't sign over her rights. Well, who would blame her? Apparently, ABC wanted to own Vampyra, and she said no. And so it was that instead they canceled it. But by then, you've got local stations all over the country, like I say, trying to do some type of a horror show of their own. And so here, KPTV is trying to build their own Vampyra for the Pacific Northwest. And of course, all these things come with a lot of publicity stunts and all that. But so they get Suzanne Waldron, who, like I say, was doing a lot of voiceover and had done a lot of onstage stuff. And they said, okay, you'll be Tarantula Ghoul. And boy, she was. And another Morticia Adams lookalike as far as that goes. But and she had a boa constrictor baby. And she had a spider. The spider was a puppet. That was Sir Galahad, as I remember. And, you know, the promos were things like, "We dare you to watch the House of Horror." And, yeah, sort of like that. Actually, I laugh when I think about this memory, because the first episode, they really screwed up. And again, they had a lot of fun with this, but they were thinking that this was Saturday night, late at night, that they had an all-adult audience. Well, apparently they had one too many kids, because several of them wrote the television station when they were upset. Tarantula is, you know, walking through, waltzing through, so to speak, a graveyard. And, you know, the Stones are saying things. And there's a lot of inside jokes, but one of them is marked Lassie. And of course, well, all she said at the time is, "You wouldn't think that kids would be up that late." Well, she initially was not going to feed the gossip-hungry public. She was had no relationships with Marlon Brando or Orson Welles or anything else. But nonetheless, she absolutely got into the stage persona. And, you know, she'd make appearances all over the place. Like if there was a movie theater showing horror movies, usually a double feature, right? She would be there to sign death certificates. Yeah, not autographs, death certificates. You know, things of that nature. And it was really, really good. And the Oregonian, the newspaper, would write about her. In fact, the guy who did the Behind the Mic, it was, you know, kind of a dishy society column, would write about many of her shenanigans, and it was just great as far as that goes. And as soon as it started, it ended. I mean, literally, it started like the beginning of 1958. At the end of 1958, Tarantula Ghoul is canceled, and the television station said, you know, "Sad news for fans, but Tarantula Ghoul is presenting her last show tonight. She's leaving for rehearsals in New York. And, you know, you may be able to catch a glimpse of her." Well, she wasn't leaving for rehearsals in New York. She was unwed and got pregnant. And in 1958, this was not the thing to do, to say the least. And they were unwilling to have her carry on in the role. And that was it. And she went to Seattle, and she was doing some things. And then she winds up marrying the guy who had been the sales manager. And in fact, it's interesting when I see stories, and I have, she died sadly in 1982 in Omaha because her husband had gotten a job there. And anyway, she had some form of like stomach or uterine cancer, one of those. In any event, it was announced less than a year before she left, while she was still pregnant, that she was marrying this guy. He was divorcing his wife and marrying her. And so the story, and if you look at it online, you'll find out that it talked about how she was having this affair with this sales manager on television who divorced his from the station, who divorced his wife to marry her. Except, here's the except, and of course, sadly, the sales manager is now no longer alive either. Two of the kids are alive, including the one that was conceived out of wedlock. But I do not believe that sales manager was the father of that kid from the unwed thing. I think that he always just loved her on every level. And I don't know what happened to his marriage. I don't know anything about it. But I think that he stepped up and did the right thing and made Suzanne a married woman by the time the first child was born. And she, like I say, she went to Seattle initially, and then she was in Washington, D.C. And but like I say, the sales manager was John Petty. And it was always that, you know, she was having an affair with him. I don't think so, but I don't know. Now, if you're in Portland and you do know, I would love to hear the rest of that story. But they stayed married until she died. And like I say, he went from Portland and got a job as sales manager in Omaha. She never appeared publicly again, you know, in any television venue or anything like that. But she was just terrific. And I'll tell you what, if you're old enough to remember her from 1958, I don't think there was anyone in Portland, anywhere in Multnomah County, who you mentioned Tarantula Ghoul, and man, they remember her. So I don't know if Jeff, our our listener who wrote me the email wanting to hear it, if he was remembering her. I bet his parents did, though. But in any event, that's the story of Tarantula Ghoul. We'll get to James in Oregon. Going to talk about old TV shows. We got Lisa in Dundee. Going to do some voting on the world's worst hit records. And there's plenty of room for you. But right now, we'll check out what's going on in the world at large. Oh, man. I need a sedative just thinking about it. And we will resume the nonsense in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Try to smile, but in a little while my tears would show.
James, and of course that's Bobby V, and that's how he opened 1962 as that record started to chart. And he takes off to England. He's going to do a tour, and he is the headliner at that point in 1962. He's backed by the Crickets. Yeah, 3-week tour throughout England. Yes, the Crickets, obviously without Buddy Holly, but nonetheless, that was the deal. And he was, of course, singing "Please Don't Ask About Barbara" and a number of other great things in 62. Of course, when I think about 62, I always go for "The Night Has a Thousand Eyes," because that first charted at the end of 62. But that, I don't think that that was in his repertoire by then. But of course, he'd already had what would become the biggest record of his career, "Take Good Care of My Baby," of course. All right, so 888-876-5593, 888-88 Raleigh. James is in Oregon, but I don't think you were there when Tarantula Ghoul was on the air.
No.
You missed it. You missed it.
Yeah, I guess I missed it, but... you got me thinking when you're talking about old-time TV shows, especially for kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all, I remember Romper Room, but I was a little bit old for that when that came around. But the big one that I liked in St. Petersburg, and it was a local one, was a guy named Captain Mac, they called him. And, you know, he wore the jungle... like the jungle outfit. He had that pith helmet on and stuff like that. And, you know, and he'd talk about some of the different animals, the reptiles and stuff like that.
Yeah, no,
I think
that was Burl McCarty. I remember him. That was on WSUN.
Yeah. But then they replaced him for a short while, and then they brought him back because nobody liked the other guy. And if I'm correct, because he used to show movies on there. I thought it was the old Tarzan movies with Johnny Westmiller.
It was a number of things, and what it would be, it'd be like Crusader Robert Rabbit cartoons or.
Yeah.
Don Winslow of the Navy, you know, and some Flash Gordon and all that. So you betcha, because again, they had gotten these clips, if you will, or these short, you know, shorts of movies and stuff like that, and they would always have the host kind of intersperse with that. And so, yeah, it was Captain Mac's Adventure Trails, I remember.
Yeah.
And it was on SUN. It's funny because, of course, there he is in his helmet and all that crap in the you know, Hawaiian shirt or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
The jungle behind him, it was always, you could tell it was a painting. You know, I mean, this was like the world's worst. And that's what was wonderful about these things. So, you know, he'd be walking on with his shirt and helmet and all that. And, you know, the fake pistols. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it was Tarno Hot Dogs who, and I had a friend in St. Pete who got fired because of Tarnow hot dogs. And what he was on the radio in St. Pete, and you know, doing afternoon drive, and he did a commercial for Tarnow hot dogs. And you know, Tarnow spelled backwards is one rat, and there's one rat in every, because it is WONTRAT, one rat. So every time I see Tarnow hot dogs, I'm like, yeah, one rat. And Foremost Milk was the other one.
Yeah, I was trying to think, it was Foremost Milk or Coolidge Dairy.
It was Foremost.
Sure.
It was definitely Foremost.
Foremost, okay.
Yeah, he had one of the bottlers, too. Not Coke. It might have been the 7-Up bottler, but he had one of the bottlers. It was Foremost because he'd always be talking about eating your spinach and drinking all your milk. And then he'd, you know, hold up the Foremost thing.
Yeah, the bottle.
All that. Exactly. And, you know, he'd say, now remember to listen to Mom and Dad. And remember that nose picking and thumb sucking is bad, but eating spinach is good. Yeah, it was, you know, I what was interesting is what I loved about most of these guys is, you know, to be polite as they were derelicts. And that's what but not this guy. Burl taught Sunday school. He was total Christian, put his money where his mouth was completely. And, you know, but yeah, Mondays, of course, were the animal days, I think. And they, he was a St. Petersburg, if not a native, he certainly was there from childhood. And it was usually Captain Mac and Popo the Clown.
Yeah. I just remember that I always kind of remember that one, that as a kid and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, when I had to go to school, then he missed out on that stuff. But I just remembered him. And they do, there's a historical thing. I don't know if it's for Florida itself or the St. Petersburg area. And I know they have him in there thing like that.
He wound up after that going to radio. He was the news director for WDAE for years. Uh-huh. And I think he retired in the mid-70s or whatever. But that 6 months where he left, and the reason he was gone is he actually went, because remember when SUN was on the air at first, they were the only TV station in town.
Yeah.
And then TVT signed on. And when they signed on, they lured him away. And I don't know what went wrong, but it lasted 6 months. And while he was gone, I think it was Fred Davey who was the new Captain Mac. And like you say, it wouldn't have mattered because he was willing to come back. But it was. But I remember him holding up that Foremost milk bottle. And you're right, it was glass. Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Like the kind they used to deliver to the back of your house.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't believe when I said that the milkman used to come in the house. He could come in the middle early in the morning and put the milk and products in the refrigerator for you.
Yeah, either that or if they didn't have access, that was that big wooden box by your back door. It was not hermetically sealed, but they'd lift it up and they'd put in the bottle. Of course, absolutely.
Well, I learned. I learned how, as a young kid, I learned they used to have this little wheel, and if you needed butter or eggs or orange juice or something like that, chocolate milk or whatever, you just turn that wheel around, and then you stick it in the old bottle that and the milkman on the way through, he'd drop it off, and my mom couldn't figure out how come we kept getting chocolate milk all the time. And then she said something to him. He said, "Well, you're ordering it." And she said, "No, I'm not." And they finally put their heads together and they realized it was Jimmy that was ordering it.
That's great.
So I was no longer allowed to not so much do it, but he wouldn't leave anything unless he confirmed it with her, you know?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's exactly. And, you know, I was mentioning about these guys all were so colorful and all that. But this guy was the antithesis of this. He really walked the talk. So he wouldn't have been one of the ones I would have wanted in my documentary.
I liked him. I just remember Captain Mac as a kid.
Well, it was also hard to get, though, when SUN signed on because they were Channel 38. Yeah. So, you know, picking them up required, you know, some intervention and tinfoil. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, my mother, the first TV set that I remember down there, she bought this big, it was Motorola console, and yeah. it had a small screen. I mean, we thought it was big.
Right.
But it was a small screen, black and white tube. And yep. then it had a record player.
Oh,
and
sure.
And it had a... had an AM, FM.
Yep.
I don't know if it was FM or not, a shortwave radio.
It was FM, and it drifted like crazy. And the other thing is black and white, oh, I beg to differ. I'd call that green and white any day of the week. Their black and white was just not good. It looked more like it was in a fishbowl. So, I remember well. But, you know, when normally in markets where there were V's originally, which were much easier to pick up with the rabbit ears and all that, when the U's came in, the grocery stores used to give away those loop antennas and all that. But in St. Pete, it started as a U. So, Channel 38. I remember that. Maybe they're still there. I don't know. It's been too long for me. All right. Fun memories.
A long time ago for me, too.
But you'll never forget it.
No. Okay. All well, right. I just wanted to. I was taught to throw that out there because my horror movies would be the Johnny Westmiller Tarzan movies. So.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
So he was a kiddie show host, Burl, and he, like I said, he went to radio and was a news director at DAE, and then I think it was like the mid '80s, he died in a boating accident. It was very sad, but Captain Max Adventure Trails. All right, so while we're talking about good old radio and television, good old is absolutely true. You know, the radios back in the day had just terrific reception, and even those big console players, maybe not the FM, but the AM certainly. Well, anymore the last several decades, you know, reception has just been at most an afterthought. And when Bob Crane discovered that, he thought, I can do better. And unlike the rest of us who were just complaining, he did. He started to design radios that had terrific reception. And every one of them does, but every one of them also has neat features in addition to that. The CC Radio 2E is worth your consideration. And the easiest thing to do is take your average radio, tune to a weak AM station, and then take the CC Radio 2E, put it next to it, tune to the same station, and I don't have to say anything else. Blows it out of the water. Reception is just terrific, and great FM reception as well. And yes, it's a digital readout, but you can fine-tune in almost in micro increments, so you'll really like that. And not only that, it sounds good. It AM and FM, and the quality is just terrific. And you can adjust it with treble and bass however you want it to sound, and I guarantee you, you'll be happy with it. But big thing for me is it's designed to receive those stations that other radios, man, it's just too hard to get. Yeah, now it's not going to do magic and pick up stations that, you know, otherwise nothing will because the signal's not over your head. But I guarantee you, if the signal's there and nothing else will pick it up, this one will. The 2E also gets weather and weather alert, which makes a great emergency radio as well. It's the one I keep by my bedside. So check it out. CC Radio 2E from the Sea Crane Company has the power and the strength to bring in those signals. And you can, if you go online to ccradio.com, you can read all about the 2E and all of the other wonderful radios that Bob Crane has had a hand in developing. And you can order it right online, of course. Now, if you can't go online, hey, but you still want a great radio, give them a call. They've got world-class customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a catalog in the mail, and they'll take your order, too, if you like. Yeah, you can go to Amazon for quicker shipping, although not always quicker. Sometimes the Sea Crane Company will even surpass that. But the beautiful thing about the Sea Crane website is you get great information as well as great products. And you can sign up for their Sea Crane newsletter and be the first to know about exclusive offers and new products. So CC Radio 2E, you go to ccradio.com or give them a call at 800-522-8863. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Maxine Nightingale. She's not a one-hit wonder. Actually, she's a two-hit wonder. And the two hits were this, right back where we started from, 1976. Got to number two on the Billboard Hot 100. And Lead Me On, 1979. I think got to number five on the Billboard Hot 100. She had put out a couple of other records, but you don't want to hear them, and they didn't do well. But nonetheless, why do I bring up Maxine Nightingale? Because, of course, it was a birthday. Turned 71 today, born in Wembley, England, and probably still there, as far as I know. So, 888-876-5593. That takes us to Lisa in Dundee, voting on the world's worst hit record. So, all right, Lisa.
Hey, Raleigh.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain.
I love this time of year. because I'm sure you'll believe this, but about 70% of the records that people vote on are actually ones I like.
Well, no, not only do I believe it, but again, see, it's the world's worst hit records. In order for a record to be a hit, particularly if it was number one, that means literally millions of people had to like it enough to buy it. So,
I know.
Every one of these sold. That's why I never do it on flops.
So somebody liked it, is what you're saying.
A lot of people. If I did it on flops, that would just be mean, because the reality is that the guy who puts his thing out on a record out, and, you know, maybe it's the only one he's ever put out, and he puts his heart and his soul into it. And, of course, it does nothing because, you know, between you and me, it sucks. But this guy just, you know, poured everything into it. I will not rain on his parade to mention publicly that just an awful record. But, you know, when you got a guy like Loudon Wainwright III doing Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road, he laughed all the way to the bank. And we can say, yeah, that's just about the worst. But, you know, it isn't bothering him.
Are some of the ones that are requested some that you like?
I'm looking at the list. I didn't mind watching Scotty grow. I'll tell you.
Yeah, I like Bobby Goldsboro, too.
Yeah, and I'm one of the few people who doesn't mind Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of these, though. Melanie, Brand New Key, I Don't Turn Off the Radio. I don't hate that. But you know, some of them, like this Paul Anka record, oh my God, Heaven My Baby, I'm right with them.
And good Lord, didn't they play the hell out of that record?
Oh,
when it was,
God, yes.
I mean, it must have been hard to be a DJ back then.
I was in Louisville, Kentucky. I hear that record, and it just takes me right. I had the radio station condemned by the Board of Health.
There was nothing you could do. You had to listen to it, right?
No, absolutely, you didn't have to listen to it, but you better have been there when it was ending.
I see.
No, as long as you had the open and the close and knew what you were doing afterwards, there was no rule that said you had to have your headphones on. But actually, it was Alan Freed who used to say that the key to his success was he listened to the music. And he said, they know if you like the music and if you're listening to it. And he was an absolute terrible disc jockey, but everybody loved him because you knew that he liked, and even when he wasn't being paid, which wasn't often, he liked the music that he played. But, you know, I remember when I used to have to play the music of What's Left of Your Life. You know, I'd intro those records, and now here's one with a drum. You know, what else could you say?
Good Lord. Well, the first thing I want to do is add a vote to You Light Up My Life, because that's
very
the worst
good.
Song
very
ever.
Good. Yes, I agree.
So,
yes.
I would like to suggest talking about funeral dirge, like you like to mention, Peggy Lee. Is that all
Is that all there is? Yes, what a wonderful suicide song. Yes.
Exactly.
And that's Lieber, Lieber and Stoller. You know, you really,
oh, wow.
I know. It really makes you wonder.
Well, and why she would do it, too.
Well, she did it because she recognized a hit when she heard it, and it was Lieber and Stoller who wrote it, and she was kind of the end of her career anyway. Best thing she ever did, but we don't want to hear it.
No, we sure don't. Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense if you're suicidal.
I mean the song. That's true, too. Yeah,
are you kidding? Exactly. It's an anthem. But
okay, then I also have Midnight at the Oasis.
Maria Muldaur. See, now, I don't mind that record you were asking before, but many people do. Send Your Camel to Bed. What was your what was your camel doing before it went to bed?
Exactly. But, I go by the lyrics sometimes, you know, and I'm thinking, Okay, and then my last one for now is Hotel California.
Oh, absolutely.
By the Eagles.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, if we did allow...
I mean, that's just long and...
Yes, if we allowed anything by, I think I would have the Eagles high on that list. But, yes, Hotel California. And although there was one great line that you kind of co-opt for music, that they didn't use it that way, but I do. Some listen to remember, some listen to forget.
That's
and
right.
And that's a great line.
That is a great line.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But the rest of the song, yeah, sucks pound water. Although, yeah, you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
But you can never leave.
Well, you know, you put that together with Peggy Lee, and that's a one-way ticket to the graveyard. All right.
Oh,
good,
my
good
gosh,
choices.
That's
thanks.
So funny.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, hon. Take
right.
care.
Yeah. Bye. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And we've got two more hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And if nothing's on your mind, of course, you can vote for the world's worst hit records. I've got the tabloids. Yeah, I promise or a threat. I'll leave it to you right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and absolutely that's Laura Nero, as she preferred. And we were talking about her last week and playing some stuff, and Gary wrote, as in Gary and Johnny, and said, one of my all-time favorites, When I Was a Freeport and You Were the Main Drag. And that's from her Columbia album, the third of that trio, Christmas and the Beads of Sweat. And Arif Martin, well-known for all his work at Atlantic, produced that. And they released that in 1970 to absolutely no acclaim. And, you know, you can kind of see why, because she's very hard to classify as far as that goes. And I liked all her pace changes in the records and all that kind of stuff. But apparently when it came to radio station program directors, they said, I don't think so. But nonetheless, Gary loved it, and so did millions of others as far as that goes. Not my favorite Laura Nero, but are there any bad Laura Nero records? I'm not sure. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. Tim in Shreveport, welcome back to WGN Radio. Tim. Oh, great. And he wasn't on hold that long either. It's not like I had him wait for hours. So, Tim, hopefully it was just your phone turning against you and you'll call us back. I understand the ones who are, you know, an hour later, they're not there. Well, who could blame them? All right. So, oh, man. Other things that are going on. There's just so many. I've been got another laptop because you can't have too many. And God knows many people would claim I did have too many, but I contend you can't have too many. And so it's an M2 MacBook Air. And first time I tried an Air, actually, but it the specs were really good on this. And of course, you know, I souped it up as much as possible. And but it's interesting because as I'm loading the apps I want, which is a limited number to say the least, but I get across one. And it actually is just an interface, so I don't have to use GUIs that are not to my liking. But it was fascinating last night when I download it, I install it, which, you know, doesn't take anything. And I go to use it, and you type in your username, you can get four characters in there, and then it demands an emoji. Yeah, that's right. If you don't add an emoji, it stops. And so you add an emoji, and then you type the rest of the username, and then you can go back and erase the emoji and get where you're going. And so, you know, I can't tell you how many times last night I uninstalled and, you know, I downloaded it differently. I took it from other computers that were working on and on and on, and it still had this unique feature. So I wrote to the company today thinking, well, they're going to think, here's another crazy woman, right? Well, it turns out that no, they said this is a known problem with some Macs. Yeah, right. That intermittent issue. But they said some Macs, you just need to add the emoji. I'm like, you know, it's not a big deal. You can go back and remove it and all that. But what a waste of keystrokes. And then they said, but there's a secret. Just hit the control while you are typing, and it'll go through. And it did. I couldn't believe it. But I thought to myself, exactly what kind of a glitch would cause the phantom emoji requirement. And I've yet to fully embrace what possibly could have gone wrong, but at least it's fixed, so now I'll never think about it again. So Tim did call back. Well, excellent. Glad to hear it. So Tim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
I can't complain too much. I got three of the worst songs.
Oh, good.
And I don't know if they've been listed on there or not, but one is Sweet Home Alabama from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, no, you're the first for that, but we'll see who seconds it.
And Billy Joel's Piano Man.
Ah, okay, interesting. All right, first hit for Billy.
Yeah, I mean, I like the song, don't get me wrong, but God, you hear them so freaking much.
Well, yeah, it is kind of a burnout. Actually, from that first album, I liked Captain Jack, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's a good song, too. And then finally, but not least, it's the worst song. When I hear the first little note of the song, I have to turn the radio off or turn it to a different deal there, you know. It is Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
Interesting. Yes, I can see that as a very noble choice.
Yes, I'm telling you, that song just it just gets on my last nerve.
Yeah, and you know, fortunately, I don't hear it too much anymore.
That's real fortunate.
Yes, it is actually. But you know, some of them they just stick around no matter what. Or worse than that, someone reissues it. You know, like what happened with "You Light Up My Life." Just when we thought we were over it, here comes Leanne Rimes. So you know, sometimes they just don't go away. But yeah, that Sinead O'Connor, haven't heard in a long time. Thanks for bringing up that memory. I think.
Now, don't get me wrong, I like the Debbie Boone version of You Light Up My
You
Life.
Do? You're the one? We found you?
Yeah.
Well, actually, of course, somebody had to like it. It sold a lot of records.
Yeah.
But, all right, you're the first person to fess up to that on this show.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you liked it.
Don't get me wrong. It can be the worst song, too, you know, but, I mean, I liked it always. It was a good one there, you know.
Well, you're obviously not alone. Millions of people bought it, but I just never met one of them personally who really liked it. So this is a big night for me.
Yeah.
All right.
And I appreciate you, Raleigh. And it's been a minute since I've talked to you, but I tried to get on some of the trivia nights. Of course, this last Monday night we didn't have it.
Yeah, exactly. 20 minutes of trivia, right? I was surprised anybody was playing it. But we will have a full trivia show Monday night. I better look to make sure that's right, but I'm pretty sure it is, that there's a full trivia show Monday night. Yes, there is. And we will join together and have 3 big hours, and I'll count on you being among the callers.
All right. Appreciate you, girl.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. All right. Bye-bye. So, yes, fine choices. And so someone likes you. Well, of course, someone had to like You Light Up My Life. It clearly couldn't sell millions of copies any other way. But like I say, I don't think anybody has ever called the show admitting that before. So that is quite an admission. So what else do we have? We have some of the James stories we hadn't spoken about that we might cover here before the evening is out. Obviously, complete and total means absolutely nothing. Yes, tabloid fodder and more. But apparently, Prince Harry, the royal one, shared a bittersweet memory of Archie's first words, Archie being the older son. Yes. He opened up about the story in his new docuseries. He's got a docuseries? Yeah, premiered this week. The Me You Can't See. And he had all sorts of links to that. But what were the first words that Archie said? Well, I'm not sure, but I think it might have been Diana. Yeah. So you'll have to read all about that. Or not. And so, The Me You Can't See. I've never heard of it. And but that's not alone. I will say also on your votes on the World's Worst Hit Records, the first vote we got, period, was for Imagine Dragons doing Radioactive. I admit I had to look this up. And that's not unusual, obviously. Being long of tooth, if it came out much after, 1975, I'm clueless, and it was much after 1965, I'm iffy. But what's interesting is that Imagine Dragons' Radioactive was on the Billboard Hot 100 for more weeks than any other single. Nothing had been on the chart, and part of it was used in games, video games, and it was used in stadiums and all that. So it had social meaning that way, and obviously social coverage all over the place. But yeah, longest on the Billboard Hot 100 ever, and I flat out never heard of it. Well, this evening in Arizona, I had dinner with the guy who does our music on our FM, because it's a country blend station, and you don't want to trust me to do that, be like all Nat Stuckey all the time. So he does a great job with it. And there's some classic rock on it and some other things. I don't listen to it, but thank God people in the county do. But I mentioned him. I said, have you ever heard of Imagine Dragons? And he said, no. I said, oh, good, it's not just me. But this group is pretty huge, and with origins at BYU. Yeah, and an interesting story all the way around. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Jan in Dallas will be voting. All right, Jan, what are you adding to the list?
Well, I'm going to say an amen to the Alabama song, okay. Drives Me Crazy.
Okay. So, Leonard Skinner, we got two now for that.
And the Key song with that high-pitched lady.
Oh, Melanie, Brand New Key. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, can I still do Hey Jude?
Of course. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. You'll be the first to vote for that this year. It has made the top 10 many times. So,
okay.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks, Jan.
Okay.
All
bye-bye.
Right. So, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Valerie. We'll get to Eduardo. We'll get to you two coming up on WGN Radio.
The girl I love, she's going away. The girl I love, she's going to stay. I'll dream of her. To blame.
and this I swear.
I'm Raleigh James, one of my favorite Cadillacs records, and I know that Scotty loved that too. So The Girl I Love, and I had a reason for playing it too, because Carol's wonderful show prep keeps me in touch with what's going on in the world at large, otherwise I'd never know. And that's right, if I don't lose it, and which might be the case right now, but I believe that the deal was... Let's find Thursday if I can, because it is Thursday, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure that that part is accurate, but other than that, well, I don't know. But there was something. Oh, yeah, Earl Carroll. Yeah, Speedo. Often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mr. Earl. Mm-hmm. Earl Carroll would have turned 86 today, born in 1937 in New York City. Died in 2012 in New York City. Sadly, diabetes and a stroke. 75 years old. All right, so always nice to hear the Cadillacs. So... we have Donna is a first-time caller, and Donna is in Bartlett, Illinois. So, Donna, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Nice to talk to you.
Glad you did. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's my first time calling, and I'm usually taking a bath while I listen to you, so I can't really use the phone.
Yeah.
It could be dangerous.
True enough, yes.
Yes. I had two votes for some songs that I don't like a lot.
All right.
One of them is I Shot the Sheriff by Eric Clapton.
Yes.
That's annoying to me for some reason.
The sheriffs don't like it either. Very good. All
yes.
right. And what
yes.
else?
And the other one is Horse with No Name.
America. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's been through the desert and a horse with no name.
Just blah. I just don't like it.
Yeah. Well, that's a fine choice. Both of them are excellent. That's perfectly in
Thank
the spirit
you.
Of this. And I hope you're going to call again soon.
I sure will. Thanks,
hey, thanks.
A lot.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Have
yeah.
a good night.
You too. That's exactly it. Two very big hits and a cause Donna to get her exercise. That's right. She lunges for the radio button when either comes on, and who could blame her? All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right. We've got Karen in Madison who's going to vote for us. All right, Karen.
Hi.
Yes.
I couldn't believe I turned it on and heard Laura Nyro.
Yes.
I love her and all her songs.
Yeah.
But somebody didn't like her, huh?
No, that was not a worst. That was absolutely not a worst. In fact, Gary
when
and,
you were just playing.
Right, it was a bumper. Gary and Austin loved it, and I was happy to play it for them.
Good. I was so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, there's a song I hate, and it might have been said during the week. But Norman.
Oh, yes. Sue Thompson.
Ooh.
Yes, absolutely. Sue Thompson. Yes, a John D.
Oh.
Loudermilk record. Okay, on Hickory. Yes, Norman, my love. All right.
Now, she didn't do Sad Movies.
Oh, yes, she did.
So she did. I like Sad Movies.
Well, she did.
That Norman.
Yeah, Norman. And then the third one along the same lines was James Hold the Ladder Steady. You know, James, hold the ladder steady.
But...
I'm a coming down to your arms. Oh, well, I'll play that next. You'll hear it.
Oh.
All right.
One I like lately is I keep playing the Merry Minuet by Kingston Trio. It's so perfect for this time.
Well, it is. You're right. It's not a hit, but it is perfect for this time. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
All right.
It brings us back to this happened before. Yeah.
Well,
you know?
And so has everything else. You're right. Nothing new
yes.
under the sun.
History repeats itself.
Yeah. Yes, it does. I'm so glad you called. Yeah. Do it again, Karen, and I will play you
yeah.
that other Sue Thompson record next, and I bet you'll remember.
Okay.
It. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll find out what's going on in the world at large. That's right. Sedatives necessary. And we'll reconvene with Fran and Eduardo and Valerie and you two, Plenty of Room on WGN Radio.
A thing.
WSGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, yeah, that's Sue Thompson, all right. James, hold the ladder steady. More John D. Loudermilk, one of my favorite songwriters. Yeah, Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye by the Casinos, among many, many others. And he was actually from North Carolina, but he was a writer for Acuff Rose, the biggest publishing house in Nashville. They and Tree Publishing basically owned the whole shebang. But Sue had, she was not young at the time. She was born in 1925 and in Nevada, Missouri, and Eva McKee was her name, and she had been in Nashville for a long time, starting in 1951 on Mercury, and did a number of things that just didn't hit, some things that were even, you know, almost big band, and then she was on Decca for a while, and she did stuff with Hank Penny. Why am I nothing hit? And then it was John D. Loudermilk who got together with her, and Sad Movies Make Me Cry on Hickory in 1961 was the big one. And then the real big one, which was just voted upon for the world's worst hit records, was Norman, and that was also in 1961 on Hickory. And then in 62, of course, among other things, but was James, hold the ladder steady. Yeah. So she died not too long ago in Pahrump, Nevada, actually. And I think in the last, like, 3 or 4 years, or so it seems, but, you know, time anymore and me aren't on, you know, exact talking terms. So let's see what we can do here with Fran and Austin. More votes. All right, Fran.
Hello. Here I am again with more votes.
Yay. That's just what I want.
All right. Well, I'm going to add to the Sweet Home Alabama.
All right. Another. That's interesting. We'll see how that... And, you know, I don't think that's made the top 10 before, but that's already rising. All right.
Yeah, I don't... It hasn't in all the times, we've been listening for a long time, as you know.
Right.
So,
no, I know it hasn't because I had to think about how to spell Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, and I knew there were a couple of Y's and all that, but had it actually made the top 10, I would have known easier.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it'd be keep coming up. But, and of course, Horse with No Name.
Yes, America. Yes, been to the desert. All right, so
yes.
Why not? All right.
A song that only has two notes in it halfway through. I mean, almost all the way through it.
There's so many like that.
I know.
Yeah, you really can't narrow them down to a top 10.
Of course, if the beat's good, I guess that doesn't really, you know, that'll make up for a lot.
Yeah, right. A good backbeat will cover almost anything, yes.
And there's nothing about that song that's good, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see
and, that. And I'll go along definitely with James Hold the Ladder Steady.
Oh, you didn't like that, did you? All right, now she went with Norman.
I didn't. I like Norman.
Okay, and she, of course, didn't like Norman, so we have to get you down for James Hold the Ladder Steady. All right.
Yeah, but I like Norman, and I like Sad Movies Make Me Cry, but that one... You know, like, James, drop the ladder, please.
Yeah, right. It'll help everybody, yes. All right.
Yes, make it stop. Make it go away.
Anything, yes.
let's see. Oh, and the seven little girls in the back seat with
Oh,
Fred.
Paul Evans, really. Okay, very good. All right.
There must have been very little girls indeed, or it must have been a pretty darn big car.
Right, exactly, yes. Keep your mind on your driving, keep the hands on the wheel,
keep your sleepy eyes on the road ahead.
We're having fun sitting in the back seat, kissing and hugging with Fred. All together now, 1, 2, 3, yeah, all right.
Although I do admit that when I was a little girl, I loved to sing that because whenever it would come on, all together now,
yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that.
And I liked him. He was a good guy. I mean, I hope he's still alive, but I always liked Paul Evans. And he did some songwriting as well and wrote a ton of jingles, a lot of commercial stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. It's been several years since I've talked with him. I don't want to say it, but he's on the infamous callback list. Yeah, right, exactly, because he's at least 85. So I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the Guaranteed label, which I always thought was a funny little label, and that was a sub-label of Joe Carlton's Carlton Records. So, yes, Guaranteed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like it should be a food label or something.
Right, yeah, I know. I can't name anything else on Guaranteed now that I think about it. But Joe Carlton had been in the record industry for years, and then he put out Carlton Records. And I think the only two people that come to mind immediately on Carlton are Jack Scott and Anita Bryant.
Oh God!
But Paul Evans wrote a lot of the stuff that was released, not by the aforementioned Jack Scott or, thank God, Anita Bryant.
Oh, and the other one was "Loving You."
Oh, Minnie Riperton.
Oh God!
I know it's fighting words in Chicago, but nonetheless, she always comes close. All right, Minnie Riperton, "Loving You," la 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 la. All right,
la.
La.
I say blah 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 blah.
Yeah, right, exactly. In the canary register.
Oh God! I remember one time. You know how sometimes if you're waiting on hold, some station or something seems to come in, and I'm waiting on hold for somebody, and I guess somebody there was playing it or something, because all you could hear was I can't even do it. I'm
right.
Not even going to try.
Right.
That one little high part just came through on hold, even though it was supposed to be blocked out.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It was obviously a huge, huge hit for her, and made the whole album sell a whole lot, and boy, I never got it.
I don't know. To me, there's no reason to sing that high.
Well, and what's really sad is, like a lot of people who have this huge hit, she had some wonderful things that people have never heard of, and she'd been in some wonderful groups, and she was on Chess, and she did a lot of background vocals for like Etta James and Fontella Bass, and she was in Rotary Connection and all that, and what we remember her for is "Loving You."
Yeah, I have heard some of her other stuff, and she is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a shame that's what she's remembered for. But
yes,
then,
her singing in the whistle. Yeah. They called it the whistle register. Okay, then.
Right. But then all Rupert Holmes is remembered for Will
I know.
People Escape.
Oh, I know. That's just heartbreaking.
And I know. Of course, from what I've heard, doesn't he's fine with it.
Yeah,
He's gone on to do many other things and accomplished a lot.
Absolutely, but it doesn't bother him nearly as much as it does me. You're right.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
The thing I never can figure out is Timothy. That was Rupert Holmes.
Oh, sure. When you think about it, of course it was, because you listen to his lyrics in a lot of things, and you can see how he would write Timothy tongue in cheek. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Later on, I thought, wait a minute, yeah. But when I first heard it, I thought, no, that can't be.
Oh,
that
yeah, no. And I was just the opposite. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Rupert. Yeah. Joe said he'd sell his soul for just a piece of meat. All right.
Yeah.
I think, yep, that's Rupert. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you read his book, How to Murder Your Employer?
No, I need to do that, and I need to send him
you
an
do.
Email.
You'll
to
love
have
it.
Him
I
on.
Guarantee it. But guarantee that.
I'm going to do that. And we were talking last night about Barry Sattler, and I realized he wrote a book, Slamming Nashville, and I'm going to try to find that one too.
I'm gonna look for that.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Interesting character.
Murder Your Employer, The McMaster's Guide to Homicide. All right, here we are. I can I can buy it right now on Amazon. All right. Well, I don't want to miss that. All right. And, okay, I can have it hardcover. Yeah, I might take it hardcover. I'll spring for the $18.06.
Hey, why not?
That's right. Yeah, live a little. He'll probably get $1.50 out of it, but that's all right. So.
Yeah. I got the audio, it's the Bookshare, I think, had it. So I got it from there.
Yeah. But, well, good deal.
So. All right, I'll probably call in, because I love this.
Oh, good. Oh, yes, well, we do this, as you know, until the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so the more the merrier. Thanks, appreciate it, Fran.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just put Rupert into the cart. And I'll now be trying to do that with Barry Sattler. If his book, he slammed Nashville in it, I remember that, but I never bothered to buy the book. I will now. All right, so then we'll talk to Valerie and to Eduardo, And to you, too, hopefully you continue to vote on the world's worst hit records or whatever else is on your mind right here on WGN Radio. Oh, wait, it's my turn. I know, I didn't say it. And, you know, this is really bad because just minutes ago, John walked in here. He walked in here with a very big green piece of paper, and he put it right in front of me. That's right, so I couldn't possibly miss it. Yeah, good luck. And now it's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. WGN Radio.
Well,
I'm Holly James. Those are the T-Birds on the Chess label, but they're not a Chicago group. They're actually an L.A. group, and that's a kind of medley of their record. 1961, and that's a Green Stamps. Yeah, a fine record all the way around, I thought. And actually, it was coming on the radio just as we were driving this afternoon. Yeah, I was listening to my own stations, of course. And John said, that's a fun record. You got to play that tonight. All right, why not? The T-Birds, Green Stamps on Chess. So there you have it. And you can't vote for it on the World's Worst Hit Records because it was anything but a hit. Valerie in Warrenville, welcome back to WGN Radio. Hello, Valerie. We've lost Valerie already? Well, who knew? All right, well, goodbye, Valerie. Maybe she'll call back. She went on hold all that long, either. Eduardo, however, has been hanging on a while. Let's see if he's still with us. Eduardo, are you there?
Yeah, Raleigh, thought I call back because I got an interesting story. But I got a song for you before I get to...
All right, world's worst.
Yes, the person.
Okay.
Madonna's Like a Virgin. Anything from Madonna, but...
Like a Virgin, okay. All right,
yeah.
Like a Virgin. Or as a weird, or as Weird Al did, Like a Sturgeon. But okay.
Right, okay, so now somebody better. If I'm pronouncing this right, Lynette Jenkins Wisner.
Okay.
She retired in Sarasota. She performed for the USO during World War II, 65-year career.
Uh-huh.
Born in Harlem, she had an officer's neighbor, so that's where she got to learn to play the piano. And after that, she became a star. And she was into classical, gospel, blues. I saw her with a photo of Billy Joel.
Yeah,
obviously, that makes sense because he was a Mr.
Well, right, and she was known as the Queen of the Keys.
Right, right. I saw her on the PBS Jack Perkins,
okay.
American Journal, something
uh-huh.
like that. Yeah, very, very interesting. I got to see it tonight. I thought, I got to bring this up to Raleigh because I'm sure she knows who this is.
Yeah, well, Nat King Cole wrote a song for her, Lilette.
Okay.
And, you mentioned Billy Joel and all that. And she used to be on All My Children.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So I know when Andrew calls about the soaps, we can ask him what he thought because I know he'd know. So yeah, she
right.
She was just gifted from the beginning, from what I understand. You know, before she was crawling, she was basically playing anything she could hear. And so, yeah, she did the USO tours and all of that. And you mentioned, so it doesn't matter if it's Count Basie or Duke Ellington or Frank Sinatra, but, you know, some Broadway stuff. You know, she was in Harlem Nights. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I saw her playing for some of the retirement homes.
Well, of course.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice lady. She had a very nice personality. That would have been great to meet her.
Yes, I agree. And she only died a couple of years ago because she wasn't all that old. I think she was born like in 24 or something. And she died in 2020. And
okay.
Yeah. So she was living outside of Baltimore.
So, yeah, great career. I'm glad I got to see that. Very
yeah.
Nice.
Now, sadly, in her last year, she had Alzheimer's. So I don't know at what point that, you know, she and reality no longer converge. But yeah, very, very sad about that. But she was certainly performing, you know, up till about 2010 that I know of. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm speaking of that, I'll be doing a walk for Alzheimer's next week.
Good.
So, yeah, actually doing a hard walk Saturday. And then I'm doing Alzheimer's walk next week.
Yeah, the walk to end Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's they've been.
Well,
doing
I'm
that
glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing that now for a number of years, and it is it's the largest event. They do it annually. The Alzheimer's Association, and anybody can, you know, look that up online because it's I think it's ALZ, so like ALZ.org or something like that. But yeah, very very good cause. John said I'm out of time. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell
Bye-bye.
You more about that after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Got in town and I'm looking around, trying to get something going. I licked my finger, put it up in the wind to see which way my fate was blowing. I'm walking through Hollywood, trying to find something good. Bumping down Sunset, never guess who.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, love Lenny Williams and love Shudu Foo Foo Ooh, but I was listening to that because part of that track is missing, and I couldn't figure out which part. I'll figure that out later, but it's nice to hear anyway. So there's absolutely no reason I played that other than I kind of like it. But Valerie called back meanwhile, and we'll find out what she hates coming up on WGN Radio. So Valerie, what you voting for?
The Neil Diamond Barbra Streisand duo.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, as soon as you say Neil Diamond, my stomach churns, but okay. Yes. Neil Diamond and the duo that wasn't, yes.
Yeah. Flowers, was the song, I think?
Yeah, You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore.
Yeah.
I think this is. I think it's Wacky and Louisville's fault. I think Bob Moody or someone else at Wacky at the time did that in the production room, and we had to suffer through it.
Yeah. One, the first three times it played in a row I liked it, just because I liked those two. And then after that, no.
In a row? See, I'm still stuck on in a row. What do you mean in a row?
There was somebody who really liked it in Como country.
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah.
All right then. Very good.
Oh, add the hippopotamus. If the hippopotamus isn't on there, add it to it.
Which one?
Oh,
Gayla Peavy. I don't know I guess it should count only because it's played so much at Christmas now. You know, nobody remembered that record until they ran out of stuff to put on CDs, and then it wound up on every Christmas compilation ever. Yes, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yes. If it's a thing, yeah. If not, stick it on the list for the Christmas mix. Christmas don't like it.
Right. Well, no, I mean, I think that might qualify just because of how pervasive it became after the Christmas CD started to roll. But, yeah, for years we'd forgotten all about Gayla. I hadn't, mind you, but I didn't really want to bring up the subject. All right. Very good. Consider them both added.
Yeah. Did somebody mention an Anita Bryant song?
No. Do you want to add one?
I'm going to, but I got to go find out which one I hate the most.
Oh, okay. Well, some of them I don't mind. I hate to admit that publicly, of course, but I didn't really mind in my little corner of the world.
There were a few that I didn't mind, and fortunately my mother didn't play them that often.
Yeah, no, this is all that stuff on the Carlton label. Yes, remember it well.
And then there was her dinosaur.
Well, but I'm trying to think, as far as Anita Bryant records, probably the biggest hit she ever had was Paper Roses. And then, of course, her version of Till There Was You. And, you know, nothing great, and all on Carlton. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, if you think of one, you can let me know.
It was one of those that was absolutely in my craw, and I'm going to have to
all right.
listen to it.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll look forward to that.
All right. So I can scratch these off my Raleigh list. Now I'm going to go do some research. All right.
Very good. Okay. Bye. So there we have the votes from Valerie. Now, and of course your votes as well. Every vote counts, and you can vote as many times as you like, but only once for the same record, all right? So, you know, you have 100 votes as long as you don't vote twice for any one song. And let's see what... James on the South Side, we're going to do some stories. I'll hang on for that. And let's see what Karen and Madison wants to add to the list. All right, what do you want?
Okay, can I just ask, the Four Seasons, I like them, but Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, didn't Frankie Valli then have some of his own?
Yeah,
you know,
well, sure, sure. There are Frankie Valli records. Are there some that you hate?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Knock Three Times on the Ceiling.
No, that's Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, okay, well, then I hate that.
Okay.
Then,
all right. Well, Tony Orlando and Dawn, okay.
The other one, My Eyes Adored You, is that Frankie Valli?
No, that isn't either. Well, wait a minute. That may be, actually, now that I think about it. I wanted to say it was Kenny Nolan, but I think he wrote it. But let me see who that was, and we'll find out. I should know.
Okay,
God knows
well,
I had to play
those
it.
Two can go in there.
I think that may
be,
yeah, My Eyes Adored You. Yeah, remember it only too well. Frankie Valli, and it was 1975. Yeah, oh, but let's see. I want to see who wrote that. So see if I can find that out. But
I
anyway,
like a lot of the Four Seasons. Just yeah. When he adds to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he was always no. He always
well,
really.
Well, he was with them.
Well, he was really them. Don't kid yourself. He was really them.
Right.
But that said, when he went solo. The one that got me was I Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. Oh God, but My Eyes Adored You.
Did There's yes. another one I can't see.
Yes, it is a Kenny Nolan record. I thought it was. All right, so...
all yeah. three of them.
Okay.
So, put them in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, good deal. I'm writing My Eyes Adore You so I don't lose any of these. Yeah. Yeah, I like Kenny Nolan, actually, as far as a songwriter. He did a number of very cute things. So let's see what Lori in Chicago wants to add to the list. All right, Lori, what you adding?
Hey, Raleigh. I am adding a bunch.
All right.
96 Tears.
Okay, question mark in the Mysterians.
I hate that song. Kiss You All Over by Exile.
Exile, all right, yeah. All right. All right.
What is that 70s group that did Tennessee?
Tennessee. We need more than Tennessee.
I'd sell my soul for just a piece of meat.
Oh, Timothy. I thought you said Tennessee. Yeah, Timothy.
Oh, no.
That's the boys. That's the boys, Timothy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, on Scepter,
oh,
yes.
God.
That boys is B-U-O-Y-S as in buoys. Yes,
oh,
the boys.
Kidding.
No, what?
Somebody was insulted with the word.
Well, so Timothy, will add that to the list.
Okay. I love the Box Tops, except one song is the worst in the world, Sweet Cream Ladies Forward March.
Okay, all right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they should have stopped at the letter. I understand.
That's why they call it the Blues by Elton John.
Okay. Very good.
Undercover Angel.
Oh.
I don't know who that was, but I don't like it.
Alan O'Day. Okay.
Oh, okay. 60 Minute Man by Billy Woodland.
Oh, fighting words. You don't like 60 Minute Man. Okay, well, that's what this is
right.
about. Okay.
Sometimes it takes one line to make me hate a song.
All right. Well, they gave us the word rock and roll as far as music goes, anyway.
Well, not counting Bill Haley, anyway.
Well, Bill Haley's not. No. Bill Haley had nothing to do with it. The word rock and roll came from 60 Minute Man in the chorus. Gonna rock 'em and roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60 Minute Man. Bill Haley, at the time that record was out, was still with the Saddlemen doing country music.
Oh, because I thought that...
No, Bill Haley hadn't...
Rock and roll record.
No, Bill Haley, as far as I'm concerned, was a bit player who just happened to get very lucky when his song was in Blackboard Jungle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that absolutely. That's what put him on the map. The word... rock and roll, of course, had always been around. It was a euphemism for making love but in the African-American culture. But for music in 1961, in the chorus of 60 Minute Man, when they said, gonna rock 'em and roll 'em all night long, I'm a 60 Minute Man, Alan Freed, you know, came out of that record and said, that's a rock and roll record, and that's how that started.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Bill Haley.
And more Bad Blood by Neil Sedaka.
Oh, yes.
I like him.
Yeah, me too. I agree. I don't know what went wrong. I agree.
I really hate that.
Okay.
The worst instrumental record ever is Soul Fingers.
Oh.
And I don't know why.
Oh, you don't like the Barquets.
It sounds like it does.
Oh, all right. Well, that's the Barquets. All right. Again, I don't get to vote. You guys do, so I've written it down.
Are you adding yours, Raleigh?
No, I don't. That's not fair. I do not. This is an honest list, and it's whatever you guys vote on. You know, like I say, for instance, I like the Barquets, but doesn't matter.
Okay, because that's the only one I ever heard by them.
Oh, all right. Well, there are others. Anyway, so, all right.
Anyway.
What else we got?
Lee Hazlewood could sing, but I don't like his voice, and so I don't like Jackson.
Okay, we got married in
and
a fever, hotter than
I
ever.
Like Nancy Sinatra, it's the same.
Okay. All right, so Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazlewood Jackson.
Yes.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. All right.
Yummy, yummy.
Oh, okay, 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Was it the Ohio Express?
Chewy, I don't know. Along the same line.
Yeah, I gotta look because I always confuse them with the Ohio Express. But I'll
yeah,
check
I
it
know.
Out for sure. Yummy, 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 and chewy, chewy. Yes, all right.
Okay, and I love Sammy Davis Jr. except for two songs.
The Candyman.
Candyman is right. I Gotta Be Me. That's a selfish song.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Joy to the World by Three Dog Night.
All right. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, yes. All right. Yes. I would like, I don't like that either. Three Dog Night, Joy to the World. Okay.
Okay. I'm looking at my list.
By the way, extra credit for pronouncing the title right as opposed to calling it Jeremiah was a bullfrog. So that's good.
That's right.
That's right.
I didn't know that so many people did that.
Almost everybody.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Pillow Talk by Sylvia.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's stories about that. But all right, what else?
Okay.
Is that it?
No, not yet.
Of course not. Why would I think that? All right, what we got?
Physical by Olivia.
Okay.
And I like her, too. It's a shame.
Okay, Physical. Let's get Physical. All right.
Why did she do the record if she herself thought it was risque?
Well, you know, I'm sure she thought that all the way to the bank. I don't know. Okay.
But why did she do it at all?
Well, it was a hit. That means there's money in it.
She wouldn't have known it was going to be a hit
until she did it, right? I have no idea. My knowledge of Olivia Newton-John is nil, so I have no idea. What else we got?
Okay.
Big.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. That's not a bad song, but it's just so overplayed, so I don't know if it counts or not.
All right, B.J. Thomas. No big hit. Okay, what else?
Don't Worry, Baby by Blue Swede.
They did that? Are you sure?
Oh, no, I take that back.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Wait, you're talking about
Hooked on a Feeling.
I know, but
me.
I'm thinking they did Don't Worry, Baby. I can't imagine how bad that was after
was
Hooked
wrong.
On a Feeling.
Sorry about that.
Oh, God.
It was Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah.
I can't stand that Duck Roan singing.
Well, right, right. That's what I was wondering about, how they got Ooga Shaga, Ooga Shaga into Don't Worry, Baby.
Oh, my God. I'm glad I was wrong.
Oh, see, I'm kind of sorry you are. That would have been a comedy. Yes.
Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, Bobby McFerrin. The only pop song to have the word litigate in it. Okay. All right.
And then one, Sammy Davis Jr. I like him, but Candyman.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I Gotta Be Me. Yeah, you mentioned those.
I Gotta Be Me.
Yep,
okay,
yep,
and
those.
That is it.
All right.
That's why they call it the Blues by Elton John.
Okay, another vote for Elton, and that's why they call it the Blues. All right, so let's get that down there. You betcha. All right, good deal.
Fantastic. What time is it? Because I want to do a contest, if I can.
A contest?
I want to hear Tom Collins, Sean Do the Magician at 12:39. So what time is it now?
It's 10:24. Oh,
well,
wait a minute. Where you are, it's 12:24. I'm sorry.
Right.
All right.
You're right.
All right.
And I thought, well, you were, it was 9:24
no,
anyway.
No, we don't believe in daylight savings time in Arizona.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So next week, of course, the show will be here at 9 to midnight, but this week it's 8 to 11. No, we don't do daylight
savings.
All right.
And I want to do three contests.
What contests? We don't do contests. This isn't Monday night. This isn't trivia.
Oh, I know. It's not trivia, but I want to do... because you did those all the time, I want to do Brave Bunch Trivia.
I don't know. I can't help with this. No trivia tonight. Monday there is. You can call back on Monday. We'll do
and
trivia.
And lyrics for...
Yeah, that's Monday. Monday.
And church.
Monday. I'll look forward to it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Okay. So... Oh, so confusing. 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, we'll get Diane in Chicago in her votes, James on the South Side and his stories, and room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. A kid without a cent get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America that an opportunity ends. Would a classy girl like you fall for a
kid who's washing cars. Take a giant step and reach right up and touch the stars. Only in America could a dream like this come true. Could a guy
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's the Drifters' version of Only in America, which actually they were supposed to have the original, and the words were quite different, and upset quite a few people. That was Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil and Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, and they cleaned it up quite a bit so that it wouldn't offend a number of people, and it was originally basically a song about, it was an honest song too, about racism in America, but they changed it, obviously, and the first folks to have hits with it were Jay and the Americans, and of course that was interesting as well, because Jay and the Americans started, Jay was originally Jay Traynor, and Kenny Vance was in that group as well, and then Jay Traynor left and they got David Blatt, who they said, well, you got to be named Jay, you know, because it's Jay and the Americans, and so he was, and they you know, he said, well, Blatt, well, I'll be Black, so Jay Black, of course, was David Blatt, and he fit in for this day in history, actually, which is why I was going to play that. He would have turned 85 today. So, but anyway, I've been looking all over. I don't know if the Drifters actually recorded the demo for the original lyrics, but I haven't come across it yet. If you have, let me know. In the meantime, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and get right back to voting and other stuff here on WGN Radio.
Oh, well, you laughed when you made me cry. Twas a joke, such a joke, oh, gee. But now I'm laughing while you are crying. But now the joke's not on me. You laughed when I said I love you. You laughed when you set me free. But now I'm laughing while you are crying. But now the joke's not on me. You took my You laughed when you said I love you. You laughed when you set me free. But now I'm laughing while you are crying. But now the joke's not on me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Jackie Wilson, early Jackie Wilson, who on Coral in 1962 on this day was at the Keel in St. Louis, along with the Four Seasons and Bo Diddley and the Vibrations and the Fiestas and Baby Washington and Ted Taylor, and tickets were $2.50. That was a pretty good show all the way around, as befitting the Keel, which, by the way, really was an opera house, and they did classical stuff, too, but they had some of the greatest R&B package shows ever. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're voting on the world's worst hit records, and Diane in Chicago's got some votes. All right, Diane, let's hear them.
Hi. I was wondering why nobody seconded Sun Velvet Morning.
Well, it depends what you hate. So let me make sure we do. Yes, I can do that. Let me find it in order here, and here it is. And consider it seconded.
Okay. And then I was thinking that one I was trying to think of last night was that song called My Fight Song. This is my fight song.
I don't know.
It's one of these, you know, I don't care for a lot of the songs of today anyway, so it was one of those songs that Trump was criticized for wanting to use it for his campaign, but he's better off without that song because the person was really offended at his request.
All right.
But anyway, her song is a big nothing anyway, I mean, I think. Anyway, Then I was going to say Boy Named Sue is the one from last year, of course. The Little Blue Man, Calcutta.
Okay, wait.
The Little White Cloud That Cried.
Wait, you're going too fast. I got to write them down.
Okay.
Little White Cloud. Okay. What was before Calcutta?
Calcutta's not so bad.
Well, I know, but you mentioned something before.
Like,
I don't know.
Little Blue Man.
Little Blue Man, that yeah, Betty was
ancient
her name.
Yeah, song,
yeah. Okay.
I said yesterday, I Am Woman, that's one of my unfavorites.
Yes.
And then the Beatles. I'm not a fan of a lot of the Beatles, and Something in the Way She Moves.
Something, okay,
Yesterday,
very good. Yesterday, okay.
Yesterday, and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Okay.
And then It's Impossible. It's kind of not so great.
All right.
And then Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag. Some Christmas songs can be
I don't know
very
about this.
Annoying.
I don't know about
this. Was, what's her name? I think I forget her name. She's a well-known singer. It's one of those songs.
But
that
I don't think it's a hit. I don't think it was a hit. If you know,
maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, if you know the singer,
well,
I'll try
right,
to find it.
You're right.
It,
if it wasn't a hit, okay. Well, What's New, Pussycat, of course.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
Seconding that.
Yes, good.
Tammy, I'm seconding it from last year, I
All
guess.
Right. All right.
And then I'll second Physical and
okay.
Raindrops Falling
okay.
on My Head.
All right.
And
very good.
Then I said There Was a Boy, a Strange Enchanted Boy, Nat King Cole.
Yes, absolutely, Nature Boy.
Nature Boy, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know there's more. It's just that these are the ones, I guess.
Oh, yeah, well, you can keep them
last
coming.
Last year you had the same. But, okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yes, all interesting choices all the way around. Now look at this. We got a first-time caller voting. So we're about to meet Murray and find out what he hates. Murray in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio. What do you hate?
I'm not sure. I don't remember who did the song, but it's My Gal is Red Hot, Your Gal Ain't Diddly Squat or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it actually wasn't much of a hit, but I'll count it because Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts, it was such a very big beach music song.
That one and I have a lot more, I just can't say them, but The Garden Party, I think, is Ricky Nelson.
Rick Nelson, Garden Party, right.
And that's it.
Oh, good choices. Call me again if you think of anything else.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, yeah, so, yeah, My Girl is Red Hot. Yeah, a lot of people did that, but I think the Doug Clark version and the... but there are others. I'm going to see if anything charted that way, because maybe something did, but that's, you know, to some degree, it breaks our gotta-be-a-hit stuff, but everybody knows it, so we'll check. In the meantime, we'll see what is on James's mind. As usual, James, thanks for the 9,832 stories, some of which I lost. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, well, I'm hanging in here. I started to go to sleep, and I said, no, let me call in. Okay, at least. But I had been holding off since I wanted to make certain that people got a chance to put their votes in.
Yes. Well, do you have anything to add?
Oh, no. I'm going to. Okay. Most of the songs that have been named are ones that a few of them are sentimental favorites.
Okay.
So I will only say that.
Okay.
Okay. Including one that basically I love that called I Love You for Sentimental Reasons.
Oh, yes. A fine Sam Cooke record and many others as well.
Yeah. And okay. I was okay. A couple of weeks back when we were talking about burial things. Well, there was something that came up apparently among other things that have bedeviled a certain schools are attempting to get an approval of their rebuilding of their stadium, their football stadium. A Potawatomi tribe chimed in that this shouldn't be approved for even a destruction because there are potentially Indian burial sites around the stadium.
That's usually the way to go. Just claim it's ancient Indian anything, and that stops the work immediately.
Yeah, and then of course, but this particular has unfortunately run into other things. And I think now they've decided that hey, we got to bribe them. 10 million reasons.
All right. Well, very good.
Yeah, then oh, let's see. There's, of course, then there's the, there was the one story about where they said, well, we, okay, somebody, they happened to notice that there were more chocolate brands that had a little bit too much heavy metal going for them.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, well, what can we say? It happens.
Well, all good stuff, and as usual, thank you for all the many, many, many stories.
Okay, you all take right. care. I'm going to get off this line so somebody can
vote.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay,
all
take
right.
care.
You too.
John sounds good.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so yes, James sends us literally hundreds and hundreds of stories, and one of them that was interesting that I mentioned at the beginning of the show is how much manufacturers are losing on electric cars. And not a surprise to me, but still a shock when you hear the numbers, and maybe we'll get to that before the end of the night. But, Chuck is a first-time caller, so we stop what we're doing to find out what Chuck wants to vote on in Madison, Alabama. All right, so, Chuck, welcome to WGN Radio. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. I've listened to you off and on for years, and in fact, at one time, you were on the station here in Huntsville,
absolutely,
Alabama, for a while.
That's right.
But anyway, I just enjoy your program, but I just never have had a reason to call. But two songs that came to mind for me was, do you remember the song, Is That All There Is?
Oh, absolutely. Peggy Lee.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It is.
You talk about Depression City. To me, that was one of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of the soundtrack of suicide.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And then the other one that really got me long, long ago was, do you remember the song Do the Freddy?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That was the that was the follow-up to I'm Telling You Now, I'm Telling You Right Away. And that was where Freddie Garrity, Freddie and the Dreamers, invented the Freddy, which is a very simple dance that anyone can do because you basically look like a dancing hippo.
Right. As a young teenager, I accidentally went to that concert and saw them do that.
Oh yeah.
When we were stationed in Okinawa, I was an Army brat. So
perfect. Perfect.
I'll try to call in some more, Raleigh, but I don't like to call in if I don't have anything to say.
Well, I hope you will anyway, because you know I do 3 hours a night with absolutely nothing to say, so I can use the company.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks
right.
again.
Thanks. Appreciate
talk
it.
Talk later.
All right.
Bye.
So, yeah, I loved Huntsville. Huntsville was great. And best used computer store ever. Forget the name of it now. That's terrible. But, man, I got some great deals on Macs. I'll say that. Anyway, 888-876-5593. In the waning moments here on Thursday night. Now, next Monday is a live show. Tomorrow it is a replay. If it's on at all, I'll have to check sports. But Monday is a live version of Monday Night Trivia. And the votes just keep on coming on WGN Radio.
My gal is red hot. Your gal ain't doodly squat.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It has to be the worst version of Red Hot ever. And believe it or not, it was the one that went highest on the charts. I was saying earlier, this record did not really ever do much. And Billy Lee Riley probably had the definitive version, which did not chart in 57. And then what you just heard was, as you could tell, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. And that got to number 82, which is as high as it ever got. And then Robert Gordon and Link Ray together Robert Gordon did it in 1977, but Sam the Sham got slightly higher in the 80s on the Billboard Hot 100. But yeah, the Billy Lee Riley song would be the definitive version, and I just checked and it isn't on this computer. But it probably is in our other studio, so because I know I'm never far from it. All right. So 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. And, gosh, I've got about 5 minutes left, and I will take your votes, but I also wanted to tell you about these EV cars, and, man, it is just a nightmare if you're a manufacturer. Cindy is calling again from Norwich with more votes. I'll take them. Hello, Cindy.
Yes, I guess I fell asleep.
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah, I guess I fell asleep, and then I was like, oh, the Raleigh James Show.
Yes, well, it's on now, and it's the waning moments, and you're here, and there's plenty of time to vote, so what are we voting on?
Well, this is a really weird song, too. I'm 61.
A child.
You know, so mm-hmm. I pretty much remember, like, songs, you know, from like 1970, because my dad bought me a little black transistor radio.
All right, so what are these songs?
This song is Lola.
Oh, yeah, okay, the Kinks. All right.
This is such a weird song.
Big hit certainly qualifies.
Okay.
Good choice. Call back with more. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it. Okay, all right. So Lola debuts on the list. Now, again, since it's a cumulative total, if somebody mentions something you hate, you got to call in and vote for it. That's how we get a top 10. And it's only you know, a few days voting, and already we're shaping up to have a top 10, though there's a 9 zillion way tie at first. But it'll break. So when you hear what you hate, by all means, vote on it. And you can do that every night. You weren't talking about something else. Just interrupt and say, I want to vote. And you'll be the head of class and you'll vote. And the deal is we do that until Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. Then I spend all Wednesday night tabulating all this stuff and coming up with stuff to play for you on Thanksgiving night. And while you're eating your turkey, I'm playing your turkey. So that's not all of them. So don't worry. Wouldn't that be the worst show in the world? We just play the things you hate. No, just snippets of them. So that's the deal there. All right. Now about these cars. Yes, about these cars. I know John is always saying you start something, but you never finish it. All right, so firstly, Ford is postponing $12 billion worth of EV investments after a drastic drop in demand. Now, you know, it's interesting. You, if you're thinking about this, know exactly why there's a drop in demand. And it's one of those things that apparently the car manufacturers never really took into consideration, and that's that you don't want to be dead by the side of the road with no way to charge it. And that's exactly it, the fact that you're beholden to the ability to charge it every X number of miles. This is something that scares the living hell out of drivers. And so it is that sales are just terrible across the board. Though the article is with the Ford people, and like I say, they're postponing $12 billion in EV investment due to buyers who just don't want the cars. Now, they'll buy some of the hybrids because they can, you know, convert them to gas and still go. But I guess they just didn't realize. So what does Ford lose? They've lost this year alone $36,000 for every EV they've sold, every last one of them. And the majority of Americans say they're not about to buy them. And again, this is a surprise to automakers, and I can't imagine why. Because the reason, and it's exactly as we're saying, the reason is simple. They can't go far enough. Yeah. And Ford is continuing to build the EV manufacturing facility in Tennessee. They're not stopping on that, but they recognize that the customer will decide how the volume goes, how many they actually build. And so, you know, they're looking now more at their hybrids, a way to balance production of gas and electric vehicles to hopefully cause a faster adoption. But the interesting thing is that there is an increase in 2023 over 2022, but it is nowhere near at the pace they were expecting. And it's sort of gobsmacking them that it's because people don't like the fact that you got to recharge them too often. Ford lost $3.1 billion in the first three quarters of this year. And it was interesting. CEO Jim Farley has been absolutely forthcoming. He said, driving an F-150 Lightning EV from California to Nevada was a reality check in charging complications. And there was another one, I don't think it was Farley, but it was someone else from Ford, who made the mistake of trying to drive just a short drive from Cheyenne to Casper, and it took something like 21 hours. It was absolutely astounding. And what's interesting to me is not so much that sales are slower, that there are layoffs and that they're stopping production, all this, but is how could you not know this? Do they not do any research at all? Because it is so widespread. You ask virtually anybody why they don't want to buy an electric car, and they all have the same answer. And it's interesting, close to us here today, right now we're in the middle of nowhere, which, we, you know, what I do the show some nights there. And there was an accident this morning, a big one, claimed a couple lives on Highway 60. But so it was that people in electric cars ran out of ability to drive them. Yeah, because they weren't expecting to be stuck for a while. And sure enough, just, you know, write down. What do you do then? You tow them if you can. And so it's one of those realities that the manufacturers just don't seem to believe. In fact, a good friend of ours in New York, in Westchester County, actually, big proponent of electric cars, can't understand why everybody's not driving them. And, you know, when I mentioned, well, it's this little pesky thing about, you know, cold fusion. If they get that together and we can drive them for lots and lots of miles, maybe, oh, no, you can charge them. But you can't in most places. And sure, if you're in swanky zip codes in cities, yeah, you'll find enough charging stations. But in terms of reality, it's just not there. And I say, who does the research on this? Who are these people? Yeah, whatever they are, fire them. Yeah, they're up there with the with the people from the beer company. Yeah, well, we won't go over that again. All right, now, so it's a replay tomorrow night, and I said I'd check, so let me do that. And yes, I believe it is a full replay tomorrow night on Trivia. And then we're live Monday night for 3 big hours, starting at 10 o'clock Central. At 10 o'clock Central. And until then, that is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do, and looking forward to hearing from you on Monday. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.